Hello there, thanks for joining us. It's the Postcast, the Racing Post's weekend preview, sponsored by Tote Fantasy. I'm Bruce Millington, and joining me this week to look ahead to a cracking card at Sandown are my Racing Post colleagues, Robbie Wilders and James Stevens. And as always, Jamie Benson from Tote Fantasy. And the headline news, Jamie, is that you boys, again, whenever I'm out and Sam's hosting the show, you boys absolutely smash it. I think it was the best ever week with the fantasy team, wasn't it?
Yeah, we had a right touch. I mean, we had a winner with Jimi Hendrix, and we had second with the poor old Colonel. But yeah, we had a right touch with Monbeg Genius being our stable star, who was a non-runner, but got replaced by Kitty's Light. So we ended up coming 38th overall, bagging nearly 24 quid, all because we had a late non-runner that was replaced by the winner. So
superb.
Yeah, couldn't have gone any better.
Brilliant. Well, as always, we will be looking to see if we can build on that success in the Tote Fantasy game later on. In the meantime, though, here's what's coming up. Sandown have five races starting off on ITV, and then we get shunted across to ITV4. I should know why, but don't. And then we've got one at Leicester on ITV. We've got one at Haydock, and we will also look at the two grade ones from Punchestown. It's the final day of the festival there. And then there is Group 1 action for flat fans in France on Sunday. It's the Prix Ganay, and some big names are in that. So all the weekend, well, maybe not winners, but wisdom, hopefully some winners as well, kick off with Sandown. 105. It's on ITV. There are 16 runners. 2 miles is the trip. And it is the Bet365 Novices Championship Final. A handicap hurdle. Difficult start. Current betting. Current best prices as per the RacingPost.com pro card. 9-2 Fav under control. Killer Loan is 5-1. And then we've got 9-1 Bo Balco, 12-1 Iberico Lord, and Kansas de Burle. 14 Bar Robbie Wilders. This is a tricky one to start proceedings with.
Yeah, very much so. I thought the Henson train favourite was a bit short. She won at Cheltenham last week pretty well, but he said he was going to put her away for the season. She's running again, but his record with horses returning after quick breaks isn't great. He's 12-40 in the last since 2010, but if you backed all those, you'd have lost 16 quid to £1 stakes. I quite like her stable mate, Iberico Lord. I wouldn't actually read too much into Nico de Bonville riding the favourite, because Aidan Coleman always rides this horse. But yeah, he just got quite an interesting profile. He was sent off 7-2 chance for his first start for the Henderson stable in a grade two at Cheltenham, won by Fennel Cross, who obviously won Aintree last week. But it hasn't quite gone his way since he fell when well fancied to beat Rare Edition at Kempton. But he actually bounced back on his first run after wind surgery last time at Stratford, won really well, beat a horse, Bo Balco, who's quite well fancied for this. It looked to be no fluke there. And he wasn't particularly fancy on the day. He went off quite a big price. So I thought he was interesting at about 12-1. And the other one was the JP McManus third string, Imperial Bede. He finished fourth in the Dovecot when he was last in. But that race is working out really well. Rubeau won the Scottish Champion Hurdle. Hansard ran really well in the Grade 1 at Aintree, the 2.5-miler. And they're both only off 120. I think they're capable of a bit better. And their big prices is a good race, but that'll do me.
Okay, thank you very much. And obviously the first question people might be wondering is, will Sandown be on? Because obviously the Friday flat card was sadly rained off. It absolutely chucked it down on Thursday and it didn't make it through. But we are not expecting problems at Sandown. Going is soft, good to soft on the chase course. So hopefully all will be absolutely fine. James Stevens, kick us off with a winner on the 105.
Yeah, hi chaps. I'm interested by this race because I'm a bit with Robbie about the favourite under control. I mean, I was actually at Cheltenham last week when Nick Henson had sort of won with his horse, and he'd said that his horse sort of improved and sort of got bigger week by week and stuff like that. But I sort of didn't have her down as one that'd be out at the end of the sort of season again. So definitely keen to take her on. And I think some of the Paul Nicholls' horses possibly are well too short. Iberico Lord would definitely give a chance to. You know, he was tried at a good level, I think, and that suggests how good they sort of think he might have been at the start of the season, but he was sort of immature. And the fact he was able to win at Stratford when the ground was quite testing and show good attitude, I think he'd have a chance. And, you know, given the way he finished off, you'd imagine Sander would suit. The other horse I sort of would give an each way chance to is Joe DeDancer from Ben Pooling's yard. Ben Pooling's had an extraordinary season. I think it'd be good for him if he can finish off with a good final day. He's got a bit of a similar profile because they similarly look quite highly of his horse, and he just wasn't quite firing at the start of the season, but they went to Savile last time. He was sort of quite short on the day. It wasn't much of a race, but he won it in very, very good style. And I wonder now if he has just clicked, and he's one of those horses that's off a low enough weight that he could just continue to improve. And I think that's what you sort of want in a race like this. So two decent each way chances to start us off.
And remind us who they are. You seem to mention quite a few there. Sorry, James.
Sorry.
That was a David Jennings length answer, that. Blimey.
Joe did answer and Ibirico Lord each way.
Jolly good. Right then, the 140 at Sandown is the Bet365 Celebration Chase, a grade one over 2 miles, 5 runners, but what a lineup. 6-4 Jean Bon, 9-4 Grenatine, 6-1 Captain Guinness, 6-1 Editor de Gite, 33-1 Fernambul Savola. James, we'll start with you. What a cracker this is.
Yeah, indeed, Bruce. And maybe not so much a Jennings answer here, because I just think Grenatine is the value here all day long. He's been very, very good in this race in years gone by, and we sort of know how Paul Nicholls likes to sort of target races. This has been his target from I suppose, day one of the season, really. And with Jon Bon, I mean, he's really fascinating in here, because I know the backstory of Paul Nicholls this season is he's trying to chase down his prize money record. And I think in the back of his mind, he thought 91 grand for Grenatine, that'd be quite easy. So I'd have quite liked to see his reaction when Jon Bon was in at the entries. With Jon Bon, it's all potential, and he's got to improve to beat Grenatine. Grenatine's had RPRs of 171 in this in the last 2 years. You know, that takes some doing. So, you know, I think he's got a form of race. His champion chase form was very good. You know, Jon Bon didn't beat much at Aintree. He's had a hard race there, ran at Cheltenham as well. Got to improve a long way to beat Grenatine. I think he's really good value here, to be honest.
Okay. Altior won this 3 years in a row. Grenatine aiming to do the same. Robbie, do you agree with James, or can you see beyond Grenatine?
Yeah, I agree with Grenatine. I'd also throw in Captain Guinness. I think he's quite interesting. But I just think Jon Bon, this is a bit of a step up. And it kind of looks a bit of an afterthought after Aintree, to be honest. I look through this field, Editor de Geek, Fernambul Savola. I think the only two horses where this has been like a long-range target are Grenatine and Captain Guinness. I think about doing a reverse forecast on those potentially. Captain Guinness, yeah, career best last time, second to Energumene. In the champion chase, Energumene was very much on one of his brilliant days there. And I mean, he put 24 lengths between himself and Grenatine. I know it's a different kettle of fish here, but Captain Guinness has run well at Sandown in the past. He was third in the Tingle Creek. But I'm partly worried that Grenatine isn't quite as good this season. He might have just hit his peak, but he's definitely a likely winning Jon Bon for me. But at the prices, I'd go for Captain Guinness.
Okay, let's bring in Jamie. What do you make of this one? Any love for Jon Bon from you?
No, I mean, I kind of agree with the guys that I'm keen to take him on. You know, he's 37.50 guineas in the fantasy game. And for me, Captain Guinness is absolutely the one I want to take him on with. You know, he had an absolute thumping of him last time and really just travelled like he might give Energumene a bit of a fright. But then obviously class told, but he's a 160 horse. That's what he is. And I think 160 could be good enough to win this. So, yeah, Captain Guinness for me. Would love to see him go win.
Yeah, interesting contest. That, as is the next, it's the 215. It's the Bet365 Gold Cup. 3 miles, 4.5 furlongs, 18 runners. And the amazing Kitty's Light, who I was up at Ayr last week and back Kitty's Light. And I assumed I'd done my money, jumped so badly, just ploughs through every single fence, but still gets it done. Phenomenally well handicapped. And he turns out again for this 7-2 favourite. Revels Hill is 7-1 in Rillo, 8-1 along with the Goffer. And then it's 10-1 and Sam, 11-1 certainly red. And 12 bar. Robbie, we'll start with you. Kitty's Light, for or against?
I'm against him just because he's always going to be short, because his last time out winner is well handicapped. It's gonna take a bit of doing backing that up after winning the Scottish National. I'd be very surprised, to be honest. Again, it's looking like a bit of an afterthought. I like horses who have been sort of mapped out for races a long time in advance. And the one I thought was interesting was T Clipper. I'm a bit worried about his stamina because he's yet to prove he's stayed this far. But it was quite an eye-catching run at Cheltenham last time when he was sixth in the Ultima. The ground went against him that day. He'll much prefer how it is at Sandown. But, I mean, we know how well the Ultima's working out. Correct Rambler won the Grand National. Fast or Slow won the won the Punchtown Gold Cup. Mombay Genius might well have won the Scottish National. We'll never know. But he's entitled to step forward for that for sure, because that was his first run since November. It's just got quite a lot of decent form in the book, and I could see him being better than 145. He's about 12-1, so that'll do.
Okay, T Clipper is Robbie's selection. Who's James's selection?
Yeah, I'm with Robbie and taking on Kitty's Lie. I think for all he's a very good horse and was very, very good last weekend. It's a huge ask to win the Turvey's big races, and I think the price is slim enough, to be honest. And I wonder whether a sort of one down the bottom of weights maybe one he'll be vulnerable to. So another one for Ben Pauling, actually, Mucho Mass. A little bit like Robbie, sort of a horse that I imagine has been sort of aimed towards this race. He won at Sandown really quite nicely on the meeting just before the Cheltenham Festival. Looked to me as if like he would be suited to this sort of extreme test of stamina. It's a little bit of a concern with him, I guess, because he's not been tried over it, but he looked to stay up pretty well. He's got a really nice sort of attitude, and he's been an improver all season long. He's 7 years old. He's sort of got age on his time, and could just be a nice one at a big each way price there to give Kitty's Lie something to think about. But yeah, definitely take on.
Okay. It's a lot of bookmakers are offering six places. Can six horses really get past Frodon? I'm not so sure. I'll be backing him each way. Who will you be backing, Jamie Benson?
Yeah, I'm also on the Mucho Mass train. I remember that Ben Pauling was absolutely sick the day that he got beaten by Bill Baxter at Lingfield. That was giving Bill Baxter £3 that day. Bill Baxter is now rated 141 after winning the Topham. That was off 115. Mucho Mass comes here off 134 rather. And you've got to think is still very well handicapped. The step up and trip looks set to suit as well. He looks an out and out stayer. So I really, really like him here. I think he's a cracking each way bet.
Excellent. We move across to ITV4 for our next race, and it's the Bet365 Oaksy Chase, Grade 2 over 2 miles, 6.5 furlongs, 7 runners. Anyone offering 3 places, by any chance? No, and that's because the favourite's short, and that short favourite is Hewick, 6-4. 9-2 is Solo, 6-1 is good old El Dorado Allen, 9-1 McFabulous, and 10 bar. Interesting race, James Stevens. Who do you think is going to come out on top?
Well, I'd be interested to see what the prices would be like had the results at Punchtown been a bit different regarding the Gold Cup, because I think the fact that Gallop and Deschamps and Brave Man Spain both got beaten, it's probably going to make people a little bit unaware of what that, not necessarily Gold Cup form, is going to be like, because it's going to be extremely strong, as we can imagine, but how much it's taken out of those horses. And with Pewick, I mean, that is the obvious question mark. I'm always one that's keen just to wonder whether horses do run their rate at Cheltenham. And I always think it can be a hard ask. I mean, he's had the most bizarre and extraordinary campaign, and I think trying to predict what the Shark is going to do next is never easy. But I just wonder whether he had a hard race at Cheltenham. I know he sort of fell, but he'd given it his all up till then, and it was a good run. So I'm keen to take him on the prices. The one I was sort of interested in is McFabulous at a bit of a price. He bled, he had a found with an irregular heartbeat when he ran absolutely no race at Newbury last time, and the time before at Kempton, he was probably a little bit disappointing to get beat. But he started his sort of career over fences really, really promising, and I think he was quite short for some of those festival races. He looked very good and beat Time Hill by quite a good way at Newbury. And I think he's quite a simple horse because you've just got to get him in the right conditions, and that's right-handed at a track like Sandown. He won at the meeting last time. Really sort of better ground. It possibly might be a little bit quick now, but I'm a little bit more ease in the ground now, but I still think it'll be all right for him. And, you know, he's been given a bit of time since Newbury to get over his problems, but at 9-1, he's got his perfect conditions, and he's a very good horse on his day. And he's actually rated higher than Solo, who is the sort of stable number one choice for Paul Nicholls. So Fabulous at a bit of a price to cause a surprise, I reckon.
Righto, Robbie, playing safe with the Fav, or are you going to go for it like James has?
Yeah, I like James's case there about McFabulous. I just worry if he'd just be quite good enough. I think Hewick is probably going to win, to be honest. I know he fell last time in the Gold Cup, but he also fell at the Stole in the Kerry National and put that behind him pretty quickly by winning the Grade 1 out in America. I just think he's a very, very, very good horse. And he's won at Sandown, of course. Just the form is just miles clear, and the ground will be in his favour, whereas a lot of these, you know, your first flows, El Dorado Allen's, Fantastic Lady, they'd be better with a bit more juice. So I think Hewick will be too good.
How about you, Jamie?
yeah, I wouldn't have a strong opinion here versus some of the other races, but McFabulous is a horse I've never been able to catch right, and I think this might be my chance of catching him right. He's a bleeder, which is always a bit of a concern. Seems to throw in as many stinkers as he does good runs. It was beaten at odds on last time, but at a bit of a price, I think he has the ability to go well here. And I think it's a 2 mile, 6 round Sandown is right up his street, having won on the card last year. So tentative for McFabulous, but I think we'll have to argue this one out for the fantasy stable later in the day.
Sounds like he's in. Two votes for a 9-1 shot. That gets you in. It's probably actually lucky, Jamie, that there is no attractive each way betting, because he's probably a boom or bust kind of horse, isn't he, really?
Yeah, exactly. He'd be very much a win-only proposition, regardless of the makeup of the race. So given that it's only 7 runners, definitely still a win-only.
OK, there will be plenty of each-way action on the final ITV4 race at Sandown on Saturday. There are 9 runners for the Bet365 Josh Gifford Novices Handicap Chase. 2.5 miles the trip, and it is wide open with Cat de Matin, 9-2 favourite. Hudson de Grugy, 5-1. Kel Distan, 11-2. Harper's Brook 6-1, Quinta de Mar 15-2, and 12 Bar. Lots and lots of French names here. 5 of the 9, madness. Who's going to go first? It's going to be Robbie Wilders.
Yeah, I think Kel Distan tentatively. It does seem a surprise that he's still a novice. It feels like he's been around for about 10 years, but he is actually only 8. He just goes really well at Sandown. His only bad run since he was dropped in trip was when he was beaten quite easy by Bundoran, but he bounced back last time over this course and distance. I would have assumed he's been sort of aimed at this race from a long way out. And but it's tough, to be honest. Kel Distan tentatively.
Thank you very much. James Stevens, your selection?
Yeah, I'm possibly even more a bit tentative than Robbie here, because I'm going to sit and watch how the sort of first races unfold regarding the ground. Because my two ways of thinking is that if it is sort of quite a bit of juice in it, I think Hudson de Grugy is a great bet. He beat Kel Distan last time and it was only by a neck, but I do, if he'd sort of jumped the last better, I'd imagine it possibly would have been quite further. So he seems to me like an improving horse, but he's got to have his ground, otherwise he's sort of got no chance. And Harper's Brook's a really interesting horse in here. Another for Ben Paul. I'm going to have to start the fan club soon enough.
Yeah, blimey. Ben
yeah,
Paul,
but if you watch back the Ultima, he was sort of led for a long, long way and travelled quite well for it as well. And then it was just too far for him and he just did too much. He ended up pulled up. But now you sort of look back at the Ultima and you're thinking, crikey, that's a hell of a race and that could be a very good run. And they've always sort of said that he's a good horse. It's just getting him right. And This wouldn't be the biggest surprise if he had the opportunity, but Hudson de Grugy, if it is quite soft, if it's not, Harper's Brook. Very tentative, I know.
Okay, turning into a real race, the Ultima, isn't it? Obviously, Grand National winner, Corrit Rambler won it, and then Fast or Slow, who, as we said, lowered the colours of some big names in Punchestown, was second. Jamie B, who do you like here?
I mean, this is the Ben Pauling postcast, isn't it? But I'm going with the other one, which is Quinta de Mar. He won last time out, having had the first time pieces applied, beat Grandad's Cottage. That was off 1-2-9. He's only racing here off 1-3-3. He's only gone up a little bit for that, and that seemed to work the oracle on him. It was a funny time of race, funny time of year to win a novice. You know, if he hadn't won that, he would have been a novice again next year. So that was on 26th of Feb. They've put him away. They've come straight here. I'd imagine they would have had this race in mind straight off the bat. The cheap pieces obviously applied again, and I think he's going to go very, very close here.
Splendid. Thank you, gents. That's the Sandown action wrapped up. Loads more Saturday fancies coming right your way.
Tote Fantasy, proudly sponsoring the Racing Postcast. Daily fantasy racing with real cash prizes up for grabs. A cross between fantasy football and the play spot. Who's in your stable? Visit tote.co.uk/fantasy to find out more. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back to the Postcast in association with Tote Fantasy, Bruce Millington, James Stevens, Robbie Wilders and Tote Fantasy's Jamie Benson. We're going to look at the rest of the ITV4 lineup first and then a couple of smashing races at Punchestown. We'll start with the 3:05 at Leicester. It's on ITV4 and it's the Madry Exceptional King Richard III Cup. Handicap over a mile, 8 runners, heavy at Leicester. Almabir 2-1 favourite, Bo Pedro 9-2, Maisong 11-2, Notre Belle Bet 13-2, 7 Aerion Power, and 12 bar. James Stevens, you can go first. Who do you fancy for this one?
Tough little race, this one, I thought. Alma Beer's probably the one to beat here, but is short enough in the betting for me, so avoid and have her each way on Aryan Power for Michael Stout and Ryan Moore. The form of this horse last year wasn't particularly great, but the season before he'd ran in some really sort of good handicaps and ran respectably well, and some of that form's as good as anyone has sort of posted in this. And I've looked through his pedigree, and I would imagine that this ground might be quite interesting. Some of the sort of siblings ran quite well on really testing grounds, so it could be that this would improve a horse, but I imagine Alma here's going to be the one to beat.
Okay, Jolly good. Robbie?
Yeah, I think it's quite straightforward. Alma Beer is probably going to win. The main form danger in the betting is Bo Pedro, who he finished ahead of in the Lincoln and came out and won a decent race at Newmarket next time. He's £6 better off with Bo Pedro. He's much less exposed. He's better on the ground. He loves heavy ground. Really well.
Don't you always worry with Haggis though, Robbie, that they're just always just, you're never getting value there, are you?
I mean, he's a brilliant trainer.
And he wins loads and all that, but God, the market absolutely swoons over a Haggis horse, doesn't it?
It is true, but with that in mind, I actually do think 2-1 is pretty fair. I could see him going off a little bit short, to be honest. I just think the way he went off 4-1 favourite for the Lincoln suggested that they thought he was a potential, like another Dave potentially. He's off the same mark. I like horses on their second one off after wind surgery quite often as well, because now they know they can breathe better, and he should just step forward, I think. So I think the 2-1 is pretty fair.
Jolly good. 3:45 at Haydock, the Join Racing TV Now handicap. 7 furlongs is the trip, and we've got 12 runners, and this looks another brutal test. 5-1 Spycatcher, 6-1 Biggles, 13-2 Boardman, 7 Rainbow Fire, 15-2 Guidor, 8 bar Blumenek. Where'd you start with this one, Robbie Wilders?
Yeah, I was actually hoping not to start, mate, because this is awfully tough.
Just pass.
I'm passing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Right, there you go, James. Feel free as well.
All the pressure's on me. That's very kind of you both. I fell on Tuscan here at a bit of an each way price. Horse who ran pretty moderately throughout last season, but has subsequently dropped onto a decent handicap mark. Has left Charlie Hills and joined David O'Meara. He was sold for 35,000 guineas, I think. So it suggests that the ability is there to win a race of this sort of nature. Look, 7 furlongs, good ground is sort of what he wants. And if David O'Meara's got him right for a first start, which he can do, as we've seen many a time, he'd have a decent each-way chance.
It's weird, isn't it? The weather. We've got heavy at Leicester, good to soft and soft at Sandown. And, you know, if it rains anywhere in the country, it's normally an absolute bog at Haydock, but it's good there. So, I don't think there's too much more rain forecast. It's going to be a nice day on Saturday, if anyone remembers what nice weather looks like. Right then, that's the TV action summed up. Let's shoot across to Punchestown, where there are 2 grade ones. On the final day of the Punchestown Festival, as always, a fantastic week. We start with the 350. It's the Coolmore National Hunt Sires Mogul Irish EBF Mares Champion Hurdle. 2 miles and 3 furlongs, 7 runners. Love en voir, 15-8 after a brilliant run. At Cheltenham, 4-1 Echoes in Rain, 11-2 Queensbrook, 7 Brandy Love, 15-2 Epitant, and 18-1 and Bigger the Two Outsiders. Should be a really, really good race. This and Jamie Benson, you can start first.
So, Love Envoy, I totally understand why she's favourite here, but she was pretty much the only one that that had any real chance of competing with Honeysuckle that day, given how the race was run. Echoes and Rain actually was arguably the worst positioned of everyone in that race, and she still came from the back of the field off of that crawl that they went to come fourth. And I think 2-mile-3 around Punchestown is going to be absolutely right up her street. So I'd be really keen on her overturning the form with Love Envoy. And they've always thought the world of this mare, and this could be her chance to really step up on the big stage, having won graded novice hurdles here as a younger horse. So yeah, Echoes and Rain would very much be my selection here. I'm really keen on that.
And this and the other Punchestown race, that they join forces with the last 4 TV races at Sandown for the Tote Fantasy, don't they, Jamie?
Yeah, spot on. So we've got the two grade ones and then also a nice little 20 runner handicap hurdle, the 5:30 as well, just to keep things interesting. Oh. So, yeah.
Right. Okay. Right. Well, before we tackle that, let's see what the lads think of the Mayor's Champion Hurdle. And we'll start with James. Are you with the favourite or against?
I am taking on the favourite. I'd love Levenboy to win for Harry Fry and to give the Southwest another winner at Punchtown after Anthony Honeyball's Kilbeg King made me very happy yesterday. Echoes in Rain was the one I thought really good record ran at Punchestown. Agree very much Jamie's comments about the Mayor's Hurdle, a really hard race to sort of look back on. Yeah, strikes me as one that's going to improve. Was going to really enjoy the conditions of this race. And Love Envoy had a really tough race at Cheltenham as well. It's worth remembering, you know, taking on Honeysuckle. It's no easy feat. So, yeah, that looks the value bet for me here.
Okay, and Robbie Wilders, who do you like here?
Yeah, I looked at this at the start of the week and I was thinking Love Envoy completely because I thought the bulk of the rain was going to be later in the week. But it's good to yield in now. I can't see it getting too much slower, to be honest. I think Love Envoy needs it soft. I would agree with the boys. Echoes in Rain, yeah, that was a pretty decent run considering where she came from in the Mayor's Hurdle. It was a very slowly run race. And I always thought that her stamina over 2.5 at Cheltenham would be sort of under a bit of pressure there. She drops a little bit in trip on quicker ground. I think she's probably the best horse in the race. And you're getting a fairly decent price at about 4-1 for her to beat Love Envoy on ground she should prefer. So that completes the hat trick.
Echoes in Rain. Sounds like that's our Henrik Larsson for the fantasy game, but we'll tackle that in a bit. First up, the 5 o'clock at Punchestown is the Ballymore Champion 4-year-old hurdle over 2 miles, 8 runners. And Lossie Mouth, who won the Triumph in really, really powerful fashion, is 4-5 favourite. Gallimarso 9-2. Zarak the Brave is 11-2 and it's 12-1 bar. Is this fairly safe, do you think, Robbie, for the favourite? She was really good in the Triumph, wasn't she?
Yeah, she was. I don't know, though. I was interested in Zarak the Brave each way. I just like horses that are coming in fresh at this time of year. Lossie Mouth's been asked to do quite a lot this campaign. She's been to all the top festivals. Really good, of course, at Cheltenham. Gallimarso can't beat her, but Zarak the Brave, I just wonder. I mean, he was actually Paul Towning's choice when they met at Fairy House in a Grade 3 in December. I assume he wasn't right that day because he's been off in the 150 days since. But yeah, you know, I think there's, you go back for his French form, it's pretty smart. Daryl Jacobs picked him over Nusret, who ran really well at Aintree. That's kind of interesting. Just that freshness makes him quite intriguing to me. And the fact that he's obviously been sort of aimed at this meeting, getting right for this. So it wouldn't surprise me at all if Lossie Mouth struggled to hold off Zarak the Brave, and he's an each way price with 8 runners.
Gallimarso can't beat Lossie Mouth. It's already happened once.
That was a freak result, though, wasn't it?
Okay.
Like, Lossie Mouth was so unlucky.
Bit unlucky, yeah. Bit unlucky. Yeah. Right, James, what's your view here?
Yeah, I think me and Robbie think similar about Zarak the Brave. I think we look at the sort of jockey bookings and it does make you scratch your head quite a bit. But I won't be getting stuck into this race. I think Lossie Mouth has improved a long, long way since she beat Zarak the Brave. And it's not surprising Paul Townend is sticking with her. She still gets a bit of weight. She was very, very good, as you said, at Cheltenham. And to be honest, I think it might be straightforward. She'll be the best horse in the race.
Okay. And Jamie, what's your view?
Yeah, I'm done trying to get Lossie Mouth beat. She just looks like she's the best of these. So, yeah, I'm happy to side with her. I wonder if we maybe have Zarak the Brave in the fantasy team and use our Stewards inquiry on him. Because then if he's second, he'll score the points for first. But, yeah, I'll come to that in a bit.
Okay, before then, we will see what else the lads fancy away from the glare of the ITV cameras.
Stay ahead of the field with Racing Post Members Club, featuring unlimited access to the Racing Post digital newspaper, exclusive online content, replays from all UK and Irish racecourses, and more. If you're a new customer, you can use the code POST22 to get 50% off your first 3 months of Members Club Ultimate. Head to racingpost.com/postcast to find out more.
Welcome back to the Postcast, sponsored by Tote Fantasy. We've done the TV races, we've done the grade ones at Punchestown. Now let's see what the boys' beady eyes have landed on in the other races this weekend. As I said, at the start of the show. The Prix Ganay is going to be one that flat fans very much look forward to on Sunday at Longchamp. Got some really big names there, not least Verdani and Bay Bridge. Robbie, you can kick us off. What do you fancy this weekend? Don't give your nap away.
Yeah, just in the Prix Ganay, Bruce. I'm just think Bay Bridge could be in for a really big season now, to be honest. He was brilliant in the Champion Stakes last time. He goes exceptionally well fresh.
Are you going
to
say typical stout improver?
I resisted. I mean, that's quite the cliche, as you know all too well. But he is, though, isn't he? I'd expect him to kick on again this season. His run at Sandown on his return last season was excellent, so I'm not worried about the break at all. And I think he should have the measure of Verdani in an absolute cracker.
Thank you very much, Robbie. James Stevens, what have you got for us?
I'm afraid I'm not getting stuck into the Group 1s in France yet. I'm just about getting over the fact that the jump season is coming to an end.
There'll be a new one soon.
Yeah, I know, and it'll be summer jumping and free runner fields and everything. I'm already counting down for that. But there is one final day of good stuff, I guess, and Punchestown is pretty good as well. So I'm going to go with Phlegmatic for Dan Skelton, who I quite fancied at Aintree in the 3 mile handicap just before the Grand National, and didn't run. I've not totally investigated why that was. But to me, strikes me as a horse that is just stupidly well handicapped and going to win one of these big races soon enough. Was second last time in the Coral Trophy at Kempton at the end of February, beaten by Our Power. Made a couple of mistakes at key points in that race and, to me, was the best horse in the race. He's officially rated 140 in Britain. He gets to race off 137. Over in Ireland, which is only £2 higher than that run at Kempton. I think he's a well-handicapped horse. And I also think that for all that we talk about British and Irish competition, I think our staying handicapped chase form is holding up very, very well, with the Ultima being sort of the key example of that. So I think our form in that sort of division is quite strong. So I'd be quite confident that he relates quite well to some of those Irish horses that look improving types over there. So, yeah, hopefully another British winner over there, Phlegmatic in the 425.
Oh, the 425. I was going to say, that was a straight red almost, James. Not only did you not help the listeners by not saying what time the race was, you didn't even say what meeting it was at. Right. So, but anyway, we got there in the end. So it's Phlegmatic in the 425 at Punchestown, currently showing at 7-1. Thank you, James. Jamie Benson, anything from you?
I actually just had one against Phlegmatic in the 425, that 3 mile handicap chase in the form of Must Be Obeyed, who was travelling and running brilliantly last time in the Irish Grand National, but sadly then was hampered really badly and then just lost all chance at that point. He's down a pound for that run. I think he looks like a very well handicapped horse for Thomas Gibney, who very much is an underrated trainer, I think, in these sorts of races, and knows exactly what he's doing. And I think he's sort of around the 14, 16 to 1 mark. I think Must Be Obeyed could be a run a big race. And then also, lastly, in the 5:30 at Punchestown, which is the last of the fantasy races, it's a 2 mile, 3 furlong handicap hurdle. Absolutely total puzzle here, total guess up. But
21 runners, what are you trying to do to people?
These are some of my favourite races. I absolutely adore them. They're, if you can sell, it also means you can open up a bit of budget to use elsewhere, because everything in here tends to be quite cheap, obviously. But the one I'm siding with is Heya for Willie Mullins. And I know Kenny Alexander and Connections have always thought a lot of this mare. She beat a mare of Lorna Founders called Naughtiness in a mare's novice hurdle at Punchestown in May last year. That was a really good bit of form. She's been very lightly raced since. She was fifth behind Tudor City in the Galway hurdle. That's really good form. She had nice pipe open the last time out at Fairy House. She's around about 11-1, and I think 1-3-4 dramatically underestimates her ability. So Heya in the 5:30 at Punch.
Lovely stuff. Right then, let's tackle the Tote Fancy before we get the nap. So as we said, we've got four races at Sandown, which are the 140 through to the 325. And then Punchestown, we've got the 350, the 5 o'clock and the 5:30. So if you want to get involved, it costs £7 for a whole afternoon of fun. Just go on to tote.co.uk and in the top right corner, you'll see a button that says Fantasy. And before we pick our team, I think you want a bit of help with some feedback, don't you? And someone who gets involved will get a nice cash prize for doing so.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We're just trying to hear from you guys as to what you like, what you don't like about Tote Fantasy. It's still a very new game. We're trying to constantly improve it. So any and all feedback is great. I think one person has drawn it random to win 50 quids of worth of Tote credit. So there's still something in it for you to give it a go. But yeah, there's also 50 quid every Saturday for the winner of the Racing Post Private League as well. So get involved with that. And that's pretty winnable at the moment.
Okay, well, yeah, although my big complaint, if I was doing the feedback, would be that whenever I'm off and Sam's in the chair, you always do really well. My teams are always rubbish. And it's never my fault. So come on, pull your finger out, chaps. Now then, Jamie, you've been listening hard as well as contributing to the discourse. Come up with the draft team and then we'll let these two have their little say on whether they want to make any changes or they feel left out. They're both very precious, so I'm sure there'll be all sorts of tears. But go on, you start us off and then we'll see what we have to do to tweak it.
Fortunately, with no DJ, he's the most precious, I'd say.
Oh, brilliant.
But actually, that said, he's come up with some right picks of late. So hard to be totally disparaging. But I'll ping through the team here. I think I'm reasonably happy with a good balance here. So I'll start off 140 at Sandown. We're going with Captain Guinness for Robbie and me. 215 Sandown. We're going with Mucho Mas for James and also me, fortunately. 250 at Sandown. We've been able to afford Hewick. He's 3,750 guineas, which is a fair chunk. But because we're taking on Lossy Mouth later in the card, who's 5,000 guineas, we've actually been able to sneak him in for Robbie. So we've then
Want him? Do we want Hewick in or do we want McFabulous? We had two there.
You can overrule me.
Yeah,
well, I'm not overruling anything. It's just like if two of you fancy McFabulous, wouldn't we be better off with McFabulous? Or are you worried about his erratic nature?
Yeah, that would be my only concern is, you know, if he falls out the back of the telly, you just get 0 points. Whereas, you know, if Hewick doesn't win, you'd think he's at least placed. So it's difficult. I mean, we can review it. I'll ping
he hasn't
through
finished
the
two of his last three races.
Yeah, well, you know.
Okay, let's go. I think there's a question mark over that one.
So 325 Sandown. We've then got Harper's Brook in for James. 350 Punchestown. We were all unanimous on Echoes and Rain. So she's in. 5 o'clock Punchestown. We've got Zarak the Brave at the moment. He's 1250 guineas. That's where Lossy Mouth could come in at 5,000 guineas. But we then have to probably bin Hewick, well, definitely bin Hewick, and then maybe have to bin one other to afford her. So that's a decision. And then the 5:30 punch at the moment, I've got Haya in at 750 guineas, so she's pretty cheap.
James, you got any thoughts on that?
I mean, I would have...
There's not enough Ben Pauling horses, is there?
Yeah, exactly. I would possibly go Lossy Mouth myself over Hewick, but
yeah, I fancy... Can I jump in here? Because I'm going to jump in here. Can we not go Lossy Mouth rather than Thingamajig, Zorba the Great, or whatever he's called, and then McFabulous rather than Hewick? Does that work out quid pro quo?
Let me just have a quick play around. We're 500 guineas over, so... what we would have to can then would we don't want to can Echoes and Rain. Well, it'll be 500 over. Well, I'll tell you what we could do. We could get rid of Haya in the 5:30 punchdown because that is a total lottery, and literally just try and find something for 250 guineas and hope it outruns its price.
What do you reckon, Rob? Hewick or Lossy Mouth?
I personally prefer Hewick. But
okay, we'll go with Hewick. We'll go with Hewick. Fine. Yeah. You happy with that, James? You don't feel too slighted there?
No, but I certainly do feel precious, though.
Yeah, well, the reality is you're one of the greatest team players on the Racing Post, so we know that you'll be absolutely fine with it. Okay, so all we need to do now is pick Stewards Inquiry and Henrik Larsson, don't we?
Yeah, yeah. So Stewards Inquiry, we normally sort of offer it out, but Zarek the Brave makes a lot of sense because, you know, if he doesn't beat Lossy Mouth, you'd think he's beaten the rest of them, so... you could boost him to first. And then, I'd say then either Hewick or what was the mare called?
Echoes.
Echoes. Yeah.
Let's go Echoes because you all went for Echoes. Yeah.
Perfect.
All right, then. So that's it. We're all done. Just take us through the team once more and then we'll get the naps,
right.
Jamie.
Right. Bidding to repeat last week's 24 quid payout. We're going in the 140 at Sandown, Captain Guinness. 215 Sandown, Mucho Mas. 250 Sandown, Hewick. 325 Sandown, Harper's Brook. 350 Punchestown, Echoes and Rain with the Stewards and with the Stable Star on for double points. 5 o'clock Punchestown, Zarek the Brave with the Stewards Inquiry, so we'll score the points of the position above. And then 5:30 Punchestown, Heya.
Brilliant stuff. So go to tote.co.uk, hit that Tote Fancy button and enter for £7. Great fun. And if you fill in the survey, you've got a chance of winning £50 worth of Tote credit. Brilliant. Right then, all that remains is to get the naps, and we'll start with James Stevens.
Okay. I am going for the big handicap at Sandown, the Bet365 Gold Cup 215. Mucho Mas, as we discussed earlier. Kitty's Light, I'm keen to take on. Really nice improving horse. Look, has good form around Sandown, which is always a bonus. Gets in off no weight and hopefully has a bit more to offer as an improving seven-year-old. So Mucho Mas for me.
Thank you, James. Robbie Wilders, what's your nap?
I'm going to go for that race Jamie discussed, the 5:30 at Punchestown, 21 runners, but I'm going to go for Green Glory. This horse.
Why didn't this enter the Discord? Why didn't this enter the chat?
Green Glory was the last of my shortlist as well.
I was holding him back for the nap.
Okay, go on then. Right, hit us.
Yeah, it's interesting. He was sent off 9-2 favourite for the Lanzarote off a much higher British mark. He was only one of four finishers that day. That was a ridiculous race. About 16 horses were pulled up. But West Balboa recently came out and won that top handicap at Aintree off a break. I'm hoping this horse can do similar. He's off bottom weight here. He's just snuck in. He's on £5 lower than the Lanzarote run. I just think he's well handicapped. He's 6 years old. He's not had much racing. He's trained by Charles Burns and he's about 10-1. You're getting six places. So I think that's a very good each way bet.
Did you suddenly go a little bit more Cockney there? You went all sort of very Cristo on us. Yeah, Lanzarote. That was the Lanzarote, Jamie. I'll just I'll translate for you.
You know, I never pronounce my T's, Bruce.
Okay, Green Glory in the 5:30 is Robbie's net. And Jamie, who's yours?
I love that. I've just swapped him into our fantasy stable now, because like I say, it was the last one off my shortlist in that race, because I also love a horse that he beat called Spirit of Legend at Leopardstown at Christmas. So yeah, he's in. Green Glory's okay. In last minute sub, but I'm gonna nap up Echoes and Rain. I think she should be favourite rather than 4-1. So
splendid, and that's in the 3:50 at Punchestown. Right then. It's a wrap. Thank you very much, James. Thanks, Robbie. Thank you, Jamie Benson. And thanks, as always, to our fantastic producer, Sam Hart. We're back next Friday for another podcast. And what have we got? Well, we've only got the 2,000. It's 2,000 Guineas Day next Saturday. Blimey, that's come around quick. So we'll have a top team of experts lined up for you then. In the meantime, we've got the front page on Monday. If you like your golf, the Sweet Spot is out on Tuesday. Loads more great stuff on Racing Post's YouTube channel. Join us next Friday for another postcard.